Bihari. Swami Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki Espan Fangasara Srila Prabhupada ki Namachara Srila Haridasa Kuru ki Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Raita Garada Sri Vasadi Bhava Vakavinda ki. All glories to the Samra devotees. All glories to the Samra devotees. All glories to the Samra devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's Canto 2, text chapter 7, text 20. The marker is on the tree. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, chapter 7, text 20. Chakram cha diksha avihatam dasha shu swatejo.
Chakram cha diksha avihatam dasha shu swatejo.
Manvantareshu manuvansa daro bibarti.
Manvantareshu manuvansa daro bibarti.
Dushteshu rajasu damam. Vyarahat swakirtin. Satye triprashta ushatim pratayam charitrahi. Chakram chadiksha avihatam dashashu satejo. Manvantareshu manuvansadaro bibharti.
Manvantareshu manuvansadaro bibharti.
Dushteshu rajasudaman vyadahat swakirtin.
Dushteshu rajasudaman vyadahat swakirtin.
Satye triprishta ushatim. Pratayam charitrahi. Chakram chariksha avihatam dasashu swatejo.
Chakram chariksha avihatam dasashu swatejo.
Manvantareshu manuvansadaro biharti. Dushteshu rajasudamam vyadahat swakirtin.
Dushteshu rajasudamam vyadahat swakirtin.
Satye triprishta ushatim pratayam charitre.
Satye triprishta ushatim pratayam charitre.
Chakram shariksha avatam dashashu satejo.
Manvantareshu
manuvamsa daro bibharti.
Dushteshu
rajasu dhamam yadahat swakirtin. Satye priprishta ushatim pratayam saritra.
Chakram
shadiksva avihatam dashashu swatejo. Manvantareshu manuvansadaro bibharti.
Dushteshu
rajasudamam vyadadat swakirtin. Satye triprishta ushatim pratayam charitra. Maruji.
Chakram chadiksha avihatam dashashu swatejo.
Chakram chadiksha avihatam dashashu swatejo.
Manvantareshu manuvamsadaro bibharti.
Manvantareshu manuvamsadaro bibharti.
Dushteshu rajasudam
Tushteshu Rajashu Dhanam Jaradat Swakirtin. Satye Tripristha Ushatim Bratayam Saritray. Chakram Chadikshva Avihatam Dashashu Satejo. Manvantareshu Manuvamsadaro Vibharti. Tushteshu Rajashu Dhamam Yadahat Swakirtin. Satye Tripristha Ushatim Pratayam Saritray. Chakram Shadikshu Avihatam Dashashu Satejo. Manvantareshu Manuvamsadaro Vibharti. Tushteshu Rajashu Dhamam Jadadat Sakirtin. Satye Tripristha Ushatim Pratayam Saritray. Okay, watch over Chakram.
Chakram.
The Sudarshan Wheel of the Lord.
The Sudarshan Wheel of the Lord.
Cha, as well as. Dikshu, in all directions. Avihatam, without being deterred. Dashashu, ten sides. Swateja, personal strength. Manvantarishu, in different incarnations of Manu. Manuvam Sadhara, as a descendant of the Manu dynasty. Bibharti, rules over. Dushteshu, unto the miscreants. Rajashu, upon the kings of that type. Dhamam, subjection. Vyadhahat, performed. Swakirtin, personal glories. Satya, in the Satyaloka planet. Tripriste, the three planetary systems. Ushatim, glorious. Pratayan, established. Charitrahi, characteristics. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As the incarnation of Manu, the Lord became the descendant of the Manu dynasty and ruled over the miscreant kingly order, subduing them by His powerful wheel weapon. Undeterred in all circumstances, His rule was characterized by His glorious fame, which spread over the three lokas and above them to the planetary system of Satyaloka, the topmost in the universe. We have already discussed the incarnations of Manu in the first canto. In one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus, changing one after another. In that way, there are 420 Manus in the month of Brahma, and 5,040 Manus in 1 year of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years according to the calculation, and as such there are 504,000 Manus in the jurisdiction of one Brahma. There are innumerable Brahmas, and all of them live only during one breeding period of Mahavishnu. So we can just imagine how the incarnations of the Supreme Lord work all over the material worlds, which comprehend only 1/4 of the total energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Manvantara incarnation chastises all the miscreant rulers of different planets with as much power as that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who punishes the miscreants with his wheel weapon. The Manvantara incarnation disseminates the transcendental glories of the Lord. Om Gyan Tirmanasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshur Anantamina Tasmai Shri Kurbe Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishta Staptam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Karamayam Dadari Swaparantikam E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopikata Radhakanta Namastate Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadada Shri Vasudeva Gaura Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Welcome everybody. In the Lord's administrative cabinet, there are 33 principal demigods, 14 Manus, and 7 great sages. These are the administrators of this material world. And when one is absent, for whatever reason, then the Lord takes that position. The Lord takes his place, whether in the Manvantara, in the reign of the demigods, the great sages. Even in the Vyasadeva also, there are, for a thousand ages is a day of Brahma. So there is 1,000 Kaliyugas. And so there would be 1,000 Vyasadeva also. And so if one of the Vyasadeva is absent, then the Lord takes the position also. So this is how it works. So Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the Manus here, and he states that there are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma, and there are 420 Manus in a month, and 5,400 Manus, 5,400 Manus, no, 5,040 Manus in a year. And 504,000 Manus in a lifetime of Brahma. So you can imagine. And Brahma lives for 311 trillion years. And this is just one breath of the Lord. So look at the insignificance of Brahma. Then look at the insignificance of the Manus. And then our insignificance. Really for 100 years. A man who lived for over 307 million years. A man who lives for, or we live for 100 years. So this is the bewildering force in this material world. The time scale. The ages are revolving one after another, and civilization is coming and going one after another. And this is bewildering, not only to the layman here, but bewildering to all the great scientists also, because they cannot fathom what is going on. Actually, especially for the archaeologists and paleontologists, when they try to dig the fossil, try to find fossils, they're completely bewildered as to what is happening, because there's so much remains there, so much remnants there, that they cannot fathom, well, exactly what's happening. But Srimad Bhagavatam puts everything into perspective, that because the ages are revolving like this, then civilization is also revolving. And usually, It's stated that all creatures are very large in Satyug, and they would gradually devolve to the end of the age. See, like this. So this becomes very bewildering in the scientific department, and they are completely dumbfounded as to what is taking place, just speculating all the time, not able to completely explain, well, what is taking place. So, coming back to this verse here, it's stated that that the Lord is the Manvantara avatar. This Manvantara is called Vishvashvata. Yeah. Or Vaivashvata Manu. Right? Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. Vaivashvata Manu. And the Lord incarnates as Varaha. When Lord Chaitanya was speaking to Sanatana Goswami, he explains the Manvantara avatar, and he says for each Manvantara, there is an avatar. And he gives the name. He says in the first Manvantara, there was Jagya, then Vibhu, Satyasena, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, Vamana. So we're on the Vamana Manvantara. We're on this Manvantara where Lord Vamana is the is the Lord who's reigning in this Manvantara. And then you have Sarvabhauma, Rishabha, Vishvakshena, Dharmashetu, Sudhama, Yogeshwara, and Brihadbhanu. So these are the different incarnations of the Lord for the Manvantara. It's not easy to remember all of them, but the present one is called the Vamana incarnation. Yeah, and of course, you know, we know the story of Lord Vamanadev and so forth. So the Manus, they play a very important role in human society. They are the progenitors of mankind, or some of the progenitors. And in the first Manvantara, it was Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu, he was born from Lord Brahma and his wife Shatarupa. See, and they were sent to procreate. And when he had wanted a daughter, Swayambhuva Manu went to Lord Kardama Muni. The Lord went to Kardama Muni and Manu went to Kardama Muni and asked him to marry his daughter. Well, actually, Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu had already approached Kardama Muni, and then Swayambhuva Manu went. And it's stated that Swayambhuva Manu went from Brahmavarta. Brahmavarta to where sage Kardama was staying. Anyone has an idea where is Brahmavarta? Is it mentioned? Yes, Prabhu? Sure. It's in Brahmavarta. It's on Bharatvarsha and the northern thing. It's stated, actually Manu himself explains it. It's stated that from the sacred Saraswati to the Drishtavadi River, that land created by the gods is called Brahmavartya. That land is fit for the Brahmanas to reside. See, so this is how Manu had explained it. And so Brahmavartya is in the northern plain of Bharatvarsha. And so Manu was residing there. And so he went to Kardama and gave his daughter. And of course, we know the whole story and how human population came about. Yeah, so it's also stated that at the end of every Manvantara, the end of every Manu rule, there's a great flood. And most of the Acharyas agreed on this, except I think it was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sridhar Swami? Yeah, Sridhar Swami. Yeah, one of the Acharyas thought that there was just one flood. Just like how there's the flood during Noah's time. Well, floods like that, real big flood. But it's stated that for every Manvantara, the end of every Manvantara, there's one great flood. And then that would devastate everything on the face of the earth. That would. And when that happens, then there's so much chaos again. And this is, actually, even the scientists, they have uncovered so much layers of fossils. So many layers. But they don't quite understand how that happens. You know, they don't quite. And they feel, well, the flood of Noah alone cannot have done that. There are more floods. Actually, to them, there's five floods. But since five Manvantara have gone, it means five flood went past. You see? And then at the end of this Manvantara, there would be another flood coming. So we can speak a little bit about this Manvantara. This Manvantara, it's also stated again that Brahma lives for 100 celestial years, and 50 of his years have expired. He is on the fourth day of the second half of his lifespan. So this is the fourth day of Brahma on the second half. So this is his 54th year, you see? And it stated 28 Manvantara is almost finished. Not 28 Manvantara, but 28 Yuga cycles have almost finished. You see? And these Yuga cycles are the four revolving ages. So in this Manvantara, there's 28 cycles have already passed. So you can imagine how much time have passed from the beginning of Vaivashvata Manu to now. It's like 120 million years, something like that, have already gone for this age. So the time span bewilders everyone. When this Kaliyuga finishes, then the cycle finishes, the 28th cycle. And we still have 427,000 years more for this cycle to be completed. So we can see how this, I mean, when you look it into perspective, we can see how this time span can be so bewildering. You see, and not only that, but we are in Kaliyuga. Kaliyuga, men are short-lived, right? Unintelligent, always disturbed, always corrupted, you know, being unfortunate, so many things, you see. So how the chelas of Kali can understand this concept that's taken place is rather very difficult. And it's much more bewildering in the scientific department. They think they have it together really, but not really, you know, because so many things are happening. And what it seems, or what Bhagavatam explains, that when Satyuga starts, all the creatures are very huge. And through time, they're devolving, getting smaller and smaller and smaller over the ages. So this is why the fossil records actually shown large creatures in the past, what they call dinosaurs, you see? But it's really, it's through the creative process. It's not, you know, through the evolutionary process. It's through the creative process. And all these creatures are gradually devolving. So they're seeing genetic changes in all creatures. But these genetic changes, they are misinterpreted as evolution. I mean, in one sense you can say evolution, but the term suggests a progressive path or a progressive rise. One species evolving to another to become complete. For them, the apes evolve gradually to come to mankind. So they feel that that's a progressive path. But it's not like that. It's not like the apes, you know. The process is best explained as devolution because the path is, it's not rather progressive, but it's regressive. You see? Yeah. All species, all the trees. When Bhagavatam explains that you had mango trees so many yojanas high. It's speaking about this earth here. It's speaking about this earthly planet. And so now a mango tree is not even a part, you know, it's just a fraction of a yojana. You see, when you say that the mango tree was 8 yojanas high and so forth, or the mountains were so high. So everything with time, through the process of time, from Satyug to now is almost 2 billion years. So much time have passed, you see, that everything deteriorates. Even the explanation of the planet. When Bhagavatam explains, he said that Swayambhuva Manu rules from Brahmavarta, the earth and its seven islands, or the seven dvipas, the seven dvipas, right? And the seven oceans. But they're not the same anymore. But from that statement in Bhagavatam, we can infer that all these dvipas are on earth, and the oceans itself, they are on earth too. But with time, they become disintegrated. They're completely changed, completely different. We cannot figure out exactly what if they were, that was explained in the Bhagavatam in Satyuga from the fifth canto. So that's why also that is so bewildering to us to explain. Is it the solar system or is it the earth really? But Bhagavatam was speaking about the earth planet. It was not speaking about the solar system, because later on Bhagavatam went on to describe the solar system. See? So we can see like this. So this reign of Vaivashvata Manu, it's just 28 cycles have gone, and then he reigns for 71 Mahayugas. So subtract 28 from that, you will get maybe 40 something left, yuga cycles left before this Manu, this Manvantara finishes, and then there's a great flood again. See? So this is so interesting, and Srila Prabhupada says 504, the Bhagavatam says, because Srila Prabhupada is, whatever the Bhagavatam says, that's what he's speaking about. 504,000 Manus in his lifetime. Such vast numbers. So what I want to do, I want to touch a little bit about what the Manus said. A few points that the Manus touched upon, and then maybe I'll touch a little bit upon Lochana Das Thakur. Today's his appearance day. So the Manus says, from the Himavat to the Vindhya Mountains, from the eastern shore to the western shore, that land is called Aryavarta, or the land of the Aryans. So like we hear all the time, they're talking about the Aryan invasion. The Aryan came from the north and this and that. But the Aryavarta is on the northern part of Bharat Varsha also. You see? So this is stated by Manu. And why Manu should be taken as an authority? Anybody knows why? Because Manu is also Mahajana. So we should listen. Swayambhura Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahalado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vyasaki Vayam. Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narad, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Kapila, Swayambhuva, Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami, and myself know the real religious principles in life. And myself, who is that myself? Yamaraj. Yeah, Yamaraj is saying that really. So Swayambhuva is Mahajana, you see? So this, he spoke about creation. He spoke about creation. And the way he started, he said that the Lord created Nara and then reside in it, Ayana. And so he's called Narayana. See how beautifully he puts it? He said the Lord created Nara, which is water, and then he resides in it. A residence is called Ayana. And so he's called Narayana. See? Beautiful. You see? And then he explains time, how time works. He says, 18 naimeshas. One naimesha is a wink. So 18 winks make one kashta. And 30 kashta makes one kala. And 30 kala makes one muhurta. And 30 muhurta makes one day and night. So he explains how time works, or how times. Because sometimes you have the speculation, what's going on? See? And then, so he speaks about creation, about time. He speaks about the Varnashram system. Elaborately, he gave so much information about the Varnashram system. He says, when householder sees the skin wrinkled and the hair gets white and he has grandkids, then he should take to the Vanaprastha Ashram. You see? Shows the sign there. When his skin gets wrinkles and his hair gets white and he sees his grandkids, he should take to the Vanaprastha. See? Then he speaks about death. He says, let him quit this dwelling composed of five elements, where bones are the beams, which are held together by cord-like tendons, where flesh and blood are the mortar, which is touched with the skin, and is foul-smelling, filled with urine and odor, infested by old age, diseases and sorrow, and harassed by pain. Then he can quit this body thinking about the Lord. See? He explains about death. He explains about the rule, the king's duty. And here's one verse. A king who looks on while a sudra settles a case sinks like a cow in a swamp. And so descriptive, you know. A king who is looking on while a sudra is settling a case sinks like a cow in a swamp. In other words, what he's saying, that the king should be overlooking the case, or he should have a brahmana that's overlooking the case. You see? Because you have an unqualified person, he would make a mess of everything. See? So that's why he's saying that. He speaks about women also in great details, but I'm not going to touch too much on it, it's sensitive. He says a woman is always protected by her father as a child, by her husband in youth, and by her sons in old age. Interesting, eh? Yeah. So very interesting points. Then he speaks about the Varnashram system. Within the Varnashram system, and this is interesting for y'all, because there's some terms that you would hear about within the Varnashram system.
You heard about the term Nishada, right? Anyone knows who's a Nishada? Or you could remember a famous Nishada? Huh? Yeah, anywhere, a Nishada from any one of the books. Yeah, well, Bahuka could be considered, but there's this famous one called Ekalavya. So Manu says, when a Brahmana marries a Sudra woman, then that's where a Nishada is born. When a Brahmana marry a Sudrani, then you get a Nishada. And of course, we know of Ekalavya. And what work a Nishada does? He catches fish. See, that's his. Then there's another word, Suta, or Suta Putra. Any name come to mind?
Karma,
that's right. And it's stated when a Kshatriya marries a Brahmana woman, then thing. But Karma was not really a Suta Putra, they just call him that. But that was very insulting to him, really. And they said a Suta manages horses and chariots. You see? Then there's another word called Magdad. Magadad. But it's a state in India, but Magadad, Jarasandha came from Magadad. Right? Yeah. And it's stated that when a Vaishya marries a Brahmana woman, you get a Magadha. And I guess that's how the state form. And then when a Kshatriya marries a Sudra woman, you get an Ugra. We heard about Ugrasena. See? Ugra. And when a Vaidheka marries an Ambashta woman, you get a Vena. You heard of King Vena, you know? Then also stated, the work of the Vena is that they play the mirdanga. They play the drum. They likes to do that. See? And then it stated, from the fallen Kshatriyas, came these Sudras, the Dravidas, the Kambojas, the Yavanas, the Sakas, the Kiratas, the Pallavas. See this? So Manu explains this whole Varnashram system completely. Then he says, Chandalas and Swapakas dwell outside the village, and their wealth are dogs and donkeys. Their dress are garments of the dead, and they eat from broken dishes. They wander from place to place, and their food are given by others. That's the Chandals and the Swapakas. So imagine Manu explained even the degradation of the Varnashram system, how it could become to this state. You see? That is why at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was so much bent on not wanting to take part in the war, because he doesn't want Varna Sankara, you know, where Varna Sankara takes place, unwanted population comes about, and then so much problems comes. You see, so he was explaining these things in details. So Manu, he is the Manu Shastra out or lays out all the rules and regulations for mankind throughout the ages. These might change with time, or you know, by the acharyas and so forth, but they laid out everything in details. They spoke in details about creation, about destruction, about time, about Varnashram, about king's duty, about women's duty, about what else? About Varna Sankara. But everything is spelled out clearly there. See? And so So in Bhagavad Gita, I think in the 7th chapter or 16th chapter, Srila Prabhupada also wrote about that. He says that
that the Manu Samhita is the law book of mankind. Someone remember that, you know? But he said, and he says, for this age, people don't follow it properly. And, you know, so many other things he explained here, but very interesting. So anyhow, so this is about the Manus and the Manvantara and so forth. So I would go on to... Is there any question about the Manus, or we can take that long at the end, really? But we can probably go on to Lochana Das Thakur. Yeah, today is his appearance day. Lochana Das Thakur. He said he was born in 1523 in Kograma, in Burdwan. The Thakur's home is situated near the Ajaya River. He was born in the Radheya clan of physicians. His father's name was Kamalakara Das, and his mother was Sadanandi. He studied at his maternal grandfather's house and displayed great devotion for Mahaprabhu's childhood pastimes. He was married very young, but was very renowned in his family life. Narahari Sharakara Thakur gave him initiation. He taught him the art of kirtan and ordered him to write Mahaprabhu's biography. He wrote Chaitanya Mangala and also many songs. You remember one song, Keshava? Paramakaruna.
Yeah.
You can sing it. Do you remember it?
I can.
Yeah, we can probably sing Paramakaruna a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe you have to.
You
could put it up there, Prabhu. You start. A little bit. Maybe just a few. And then maybe we can take some comments and questions.
Paramakaruna Pavijana Nitai Urachandra Savayavatarta Kanda Savata Sarasiromani Kriyala Nanda Kanda Vajro Vajro Pai Sri Chaitanya Nitai Sudrita Vishvasa Kori Vajro Vajro Pai Paramakaruna Bahudui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Paramakaruna Bahudui Jana Thank you. Saba Bhattara Sara Shiromani Kevala Nanda Kanda Saba Bhattara Sara Shiromani Bhajo Bhajo Bhai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrita Vishwasa Kori Chato Bhajo Bhai Vishaya Chariya Sirase Majiya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari Vishaya Chariya Sirase Majiya Dekho ore bhai tribhuvane nai mona doyala dato dekho ore bhai pashu pakki jire Shuni jana guna gata Vasu paki jure Samsare majiya rohili puriya Sepade nahi lo asa Samsare majiya Apana karama vushida samana kahoye lochana dasa Apana karama vushida samana Padama karama bahudui jana nitai gora tanga Jaya go, Jaya Nita, Jaya go, Jaya go, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur. Chanda Sakuti.
In that verse, Kira Hun Andra Palina Pukasha. So the Pukashas are Kshatriya women that marry Shudra men. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, why should that happen? Well, as we know, in the Mahabharata War, all of the Kshatriyas that came there were killed. So yeah. There'd be a lack of Kshatriyas as husbands.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other example you were giving about from the bigger to the smaller, or the greater to the smallest, there was an example that Prabhupada gave to chastise one of his early devotees, Keshava Das, who was Karunda's brother. And he said, so when he's talking to Keshava, he says, this Mahavishnu creates all the different universes. And there's so many millions and trillions of universes. And then within each universe, there's so many planets.
That's right.
And then each universe has so many planets. And then with all those different planets, you have so many different continents and countries. And here we have it that on this specific universe, we have so many planets, and we have this planet Earth. And on this planet Earth, there's so many different countries, there's so many cities, and there's one city called Los Angeles. And then within Los Angeles, we have a Hare Krishna temple. And within the Hare Krishna temple, we have a temple commander who thinks that he's in charge.
Hare Bol. Yeah. That's how we see things in perspective. Definitely, I mean, our insignificance, you know. But in this Kali Yuga, it's difficult because the modes of nature and association and everything, really, it boosts up our egos, you know. Our ego becomes so boosted up, really, that everyone, Srila Prabhupada states, everyone thinks he's a boss. You know, everyone wants to be a boss, everyone wants to be an authority, everyone disagrees with everyone else, everyone criticizes everyone else. This is Kali Yuga, really. But at least with the devotees, we should try to oust it from our circle, you know, as much as we can. If we can do that, that's great, really. It's difficult, but at least we understand things in perspective more than the rest of the world. So we should be able to put things in perspective a little bit more too, you know. And when the critical mentality comes in or whatever, or anything else, we try to oust it, yeah. Any other point? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.